finding God's hope to cope. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Romans 15:13 is the verse that we're going to start off with, but there will be many. So hang on, all right? So Romans 15:13, it reads in the ESV, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." Have you ever felt like it's hopeless? Wake up in the morning and like, hey, there's no sense to what's going on. Maybe something from the past has grabbed a hold of you. You feel lost, like you really messed up. Even during this season, this Christmas season, you would say, hey, how can I feel hopeless? Where do we get hope? This is a question. This is something that the world has been searching because of how vital hope is for our survival. I know where I find my hope. Father God, this morning I pray that you would use me in a way that you would say, job well done. Father, I want nothing more to do than to serve you. And I pray that what is being shared this morning honors you. Not only honors you, but those who are within my hearing, that they would take these words that are going to be shared from your word, that they could apply it to their lives. I thank you for this day and for your son. In your name I pray, amen. So, in the word of God, the Roman Christians needed to base their lives on truth rather than on circumstances that seem to challenge truth. Paul encouraged the believers in Rome with this prayer of hope. It's the same scripture I just read, but now I'm going to read it from a different translation, the Passion Translation, the TPT. That same text, Romans 15:13, reads, "Now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power to the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope." This picture of God is an overflowing fountain of hope who fills us up with hope, so much hope that it's overflowing and it starts to spread and others are affected by it. The God of hope creates hope inside of us, which radiates hope to others on God's behalf. The Word of God is your way out of any situation. Whatever situation you may be in, just turn to His Word. This word of God is infallible and it contains burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. When you can meditate on it and speak it, you will change your life. Anybody that does that knows that to be true. Most of us are kind of the same, aren't we? After a lifetime of delusion, we've come to expect little else but disappointment. However, while the facts about your situation may look bleak, they may look grim, the truth found in God's word brings light, hope, and deliverance. You can't handle life's challenges alone, nor does God ever want you to. No one should handle life's challenges on our own. He loves you. He always has, and he always will. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, As for the rich in this present age, change them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of the riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. And in his letter in Ephesians to the church of Ephesus, he says in Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Throughout God's word, which we are told to place our hope upon because it has always been true and transformable, we are told to place our hope in the Lord. Psalms 146:5 reads, blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And so all this begs the question, what is hope? The word itself comes from the Old English word hapa, which means having a confident assurance in a future. Many relate to hope as an emotional feeling, but it's so much more than that. Just a feeling or thinking that something good might happen. It's so much more than that. Hope is certainty. It is certainty. But like, oh, I hope this happens. There's a certainty of knowing that it will happen. Even in adverse circumstances, it enables us to endure life when everything around us is just going crazy. The only place that such hope comes from is from the Lord our God. It is to acknowledge that God loves us so much that he was willing to send his son Jesus Christ to this earth to be on a cross to pay for our sins. He says he gives us abundant life. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, that we would be full. What then are the ingredients we need to create an environment of hope? The first one is believe God's purpose, all right? To believe in God, purpose begins with having faith in God and his ability. That is, that he is the all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent God. And he's here to help us. And we see this in what he says and his promises. Even in Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. To walk in God's plan so that we can have that future hope is to get aligned with his will and with his way. Let me share today what may be considered to be God's overarching will and way for our lives that produces this kind of hope. What is the will and the way of God? It is to reach our God-given potential and destiny. And it is especially important given at a time we are in, right? It's COVID and everything else that's going on. And while we may not know every single step, all the specifics of God's will and way of our lives, we do know that God's overarching will and way. First, we've got to believe God's purpose. And let me share like three things of his purpose. First, his first purpose is to love God. Amen? This is found in what is known as the Great Commandment, right? We find that in Matthew 22:37-29, where it reads, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. Do you love him? I'm talking about Jesus, our Heavenly Father. Do you love him? If loving God is one of his overarching wills for our lives, then how do we go about loving God? The answer is in the second commandment, right? That Jesus said, like the first, we are to love our neighbor. That is, to love those that God has placed in our path. The way we are to love them is the same way God loves us. And I know sometimes that might be a bit of a challenge. As you look at your neighbor, as you look at your coworker, and you're saying, oh God, you didn't mean them, did you? Yes, he did. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. The next verse says, and he calls you friend. The apostle John brings this out in 1 John 3:16. He says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And so God's first overarching will is to love him. To love him. Secondly, that part is being a missionary. Now, I know that some are like, missionary? Yes, missionary. And hear me, folks. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to Europe, all right, to be a missionary, all right? You can be a missionary right here in this state of Alaska. There is plenty of territory. Being a missionary is seen as known as the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Making disciples begins by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. How he came, how he died, how he rose, from the dead. He died on the cross for our sins. That's what we're to do. We're to share that. It says in John 11:25-26, it says, Jesus said, he goes, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. He says to that woman of the well, do you believe this? I say this today to you. Do you believe this? Jesus sends out with his great good news that we can have a good life, an everlasting life through Jesus our Savior. To be a missionary is to follow Jesus' command to take the message out. It's not an option. It's not an option. It's a command. You, myself, we are to go out and share this news, this great news. Jesus says to Peter, he says this in John 20:21, he says, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. He's sending you. Thirdly, live the cross life. So what do I mean by this? Jesus made it clear that the only way to receive our peace and future hope is in himself. Jesus said in John 16:33, he says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The way we have peace and hope is through the way he provided. He tells us of our need to walk in this way, and that is in the way of the cross. Luke 9:23 says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." To deny yourself means to lose everything, you want, right? Everything you say is important to you. It's to say, that doesn't matter. I'm going to put him first. I know it seems kind of like it goes against the grain to deny yourself. Unfortunately, many want to follow Jesus for what they can get. What can I get out of Jesus, right? But they don't want to live a life for him. That is to live that cross life. They don't want to serve the poor or forgive and pray for those who hurt them. They don't want to love their enemies or bear another person's burdens. But the way of the cross is the way of total commitment, right? That's what Jesus did. Total commitment. Jesus is like, I really don't want to do this, but I'm committed to doing this so that you and I could have everlasting life. I'm forgiving you of your sins. And that takes me, But Jesus is saying that it takes total commitment from myself to do that. Think of it like this. Since God is not a part-time Savior, all right, he doesn't want us to be a part-time Christian, right? We want him full-time, not part-time. And he's saying the same thing for you and I. We need to stop being part-time Christians who demand a full-time God. Ouch. In other words, we want God to be everything for us, but we are not willing to be everything for God. So the first ingredient in creating this environment of hope is to believe in God's purpose for our lives, which means to live in alignment with his will and way of our lives. Remember God's love. If you want to create that environment of hope to cope, we need to remember God's promises and how he has inverted, how he has turned the past around. This was King David's secret, it seems. We find that in Psalms 103, 2 through 5. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with goods, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." But David didn't stop there. He goes on to say how God executes righteousness and justice and on the oppressed, and how the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He says that through Psalms 103, 6 and 8. Look at James. He talks about gifts. I know that everybody here is like, oh, they've already made up their Christmas gift, right? And sometimes, you know, you get that gift and it's like, ooh, how did they get the idea I wanted that? or it's too big, or it's too small, or it's not the right color. You don't get the perfect gift. But James is saying here in James 1:17, every gift and every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He gives you the perfect gift. Here's an amazing part of this. When our hope is firmly based upon God's promises, then he'll release his supernatural grace. We find that in Peter's apostle when he talks about this in 2 Peter 1:4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promise, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. You see, God's grace flows not only, only through our faith in his promises, but also when our hope is in him and his promises. Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about dancing in the rain. We have to climb on the rocks to see the mountain view. But our problem is that we have become so preoccupied with our current situations and problems that we tend to forget how God has worked in our past, bringing his blessings into our lives, into the lives of our loved ones. I mean, that's what we just got through celebrating, right? That Thanksgiving, what he has given us. He has done for us the greatest part being how Jesus came and died on the cross so that we can have life eternal. We need to be open. We need to open up our hearts and mouths and express gratitude. Right? The song, "Bless the Lord, O My Soul." This is integral in creating that environment of hope. Therefore, to create that environment of hope, we need to remember that the blessing of what God has promised and accomplished, and let our praise ring out, because we can never have hope for the future until we thank him for that. He has already poured out into our lives. Thirdly, practice God's presence. When I talked about practicing God's presence, I am talking about is living in the reality that God is with us all the time. He's with us all the time. I think sometimes we kind of forget that he's with us all the time. When we're doing something good, he's with us. When we're doing something kind of shady, he's with us. And I know you're like saying, oh, you didn't see that. That's the way we want. We only want him to see us in the good light, not when the flesh has gotten a hold of us. We must live our lives based on the understanding that his way is the way. All the way back to the law, we look in Deuteronomy 31:6, we read, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." So the Lord is making it clear that he is always with us, and we are then to live our lives in this way, understanding. But if this is the case, then how do we go about doing that? First, we do that by praying. Praying without ceasing. In fact, this is what we are told, is that this is a part of God's will for us. We find this in his word. It says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Pray without ceasing. In any relationship, there is a need to communicate. You need to communicate if you want to have a good relationship, right? Prayer is our communication with God, and the only way this works is when we take time and to allow God to respond back. You need to give him time to For we need to find time to listen to what He is saying to us. That is sometimes the challenge. Most of us are too busy to listen. We've got so much going on that we no longer hear God speaking to us. We sit in front of computers and TVs and devices, watching shows, binge-watching programs, especially this time of year, right? Everybody's got to watch The Grinch Who Stole Christmas and Frosty the Snowman, right? Even in our cars, even in our vehicles, we've got the noise, the music playing so much, like, I mean, how can you even hear what's going on, right? How can we concentrate with that going on? Even He is saying, hey, I'm trying to talk to you. But listen, I'm not going to try to outshout what you have blasting in your ears. I'm not going to try to outdo the TV and everything else. Hey, I'm just going to speak to you in a whisper. You know, like Elijah. God, He doesn't have to shout. He's just like, hey, when you're ready, because I'm not going to shout over all that other stuff that you've placed over me, because that's exactly what we're doing. So let's allow God the time and space He needs to speak and guide us in the situations we face. We can do so by always being in the attitude of prayer and talking everything out with God and then allowing Him to answer. I think we do a good part, a good thing. And I mean, when coming to Him and saying, God, I need this, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, this is what's going on. And come on, let's hear it. I need this. He's like, okay, as soon as you settle down a minute, as soon as you let me speak, as soon as you're in the attitude to listen, then I'll speak to you. Secondly, we must meditate on God's word. The Lord told Joshua, my hero, and the people, he said to them, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So why is this important? Because it is God's word. And through it we complete and ready, and we're ready for His kingdom. When we meditate on His word, it readies us. We are to be a kingdom-minded people, not a church-centered group of people. I know that hurts some people's feelings. It's not all about what happens within these four walls. It's supposed to be what happens outside these walls. That's the kingdom. That's what we are to be about. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That's what this book does. That's what this book does. They say Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth, right? That's a churchy thing to say, right? The Apostle Paul is saying that the Bible is useful, it's beneficial, it is advantageous, teaching us what is the truth. The Bible is also filled with God's promises for our lives. It's one, let me tell you this. There's something about God's word and his promises. You know, I might promise to do something. I might promise you something. I might promise my bride something and forget or fall short. But let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about our Heavenly Father. He never forgets. And he keeps all of his promises. He always has. And he always will. The Bible is also filled with God's promises of our lives. And as we fill our minds with these promises, hope arises from the ashes of burnt out dreams and some really horrible times, which many of us are going through even now. Let me close. God is still writing your story. God is still writing your story. Quit trying to steal the pen. We think we've got all of that. We know what we're doing. But God, he's the author. Trust the author. Find God's hope to cope. To find God's hope to cope, we must believe God's purpose, remember God's love, and practice God's presence. There's so much more to creating an environment of hope for our faith to work and succeed. Let me share just a couple more things. Hope this will give you hope that you need not only to face today, the rest of this week. Hope to last you till he comes. The first, God is always watching over us. He's always watching over. Second, he's always working within us with his grace and mercy. And finally, the Lord God who has begun this good work within us, when we become to know Jesus our Savior and Lord, will complete that work. That's scriptural. What he started in you, he doesn't say, oh, geez, I am so frustrated with you. I'm tired of you. Woo! You're a piece of work. He says, no. Yes, you're a piece of work. But I am the great I am. And I will not, I cannot, I refuse to give up on you because I started something in you and it's huge. I want you to hear the church. What he started in you is huge. It's not insignificant. It's not little. It's huge. Our God doesn't do little things. He's huge. He's big. So know that what he started in you is huge. Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to be here together. We thank you for your word. Your word that provides life, provides hope, steadfastness. As my brother said earlier, I pray that we are not deterred from how the commercial world has turned something so important as your arrival into dollars and cents. Father, I pray that we have enough sense to realize the real reason for this season, and that is to celebrate you coming here for us. In your name I pray. Amen.